I do tend to, I mean, as somebody who lies a lot, when I do need to give a fake name, I usually just give somebody else's name.
Like when you just, you're giving a fake name like at a restaurant. You ever given a fake name at a restaurant for reservations?
That seems a lot more demure than my normal uses for lying. But yeah, let's say that.
Well, we have a friend who at one point insisted that if you want to get seated at a restaurant promptly, you know, there's a long wait, you show up. You don't want to just give your name because no one's going to seat you early. But he insisted that the way to get by that, to sort of sidestep the whole line situation, was to give the name Biff. Because he said, you're not going to not seat a Biff, right? I mean,
I think I'm remembering who this is, and I feel like, though the plan sounds a lot more solid when you say it this way, I feel like the person who employed the plan really didn't really project a Biffness throughout his being, and that was where there was some deterioration.
We used it once, and it worked. It worked great.
Did it?
Yeah.
Well, how are you measuring that? I mean, we got seated as opposed to them turning us away?
Yeah, but like in 5 minutes.
I had another friend who would insist on ordering pizza using fake names. And I mean, I think because he was, you know, that really, you know, that fit his sense of humor. He found that amusing. But it was frustrating if the order got screwed up. I remember at one point, he would use the name Delicious White whenever he would order pizza. And it's very frustrating when they screw up the order and they don't bring the pizza, because you're calling up and they think you're screwing with them because you're using a name that's clearly not legitimate.
Delicious White?
Delicious White.
That was a first name and a last name. It was like Mr. Yes. White. Yeah. Delicious White Esquire.
Yeah, Delicious White of the, you know, the Virginia Whites.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how did he settle upon that one in particular?
I suspect he had a variety, and that there was some rotation going on, but he liked to say that one. He also, I mean, I think what further hurt it is, you know, it very much amused him to say that name. So
yeah, hard to order a pizza with a straight face.
Well, yeah, and I mean, he was chuckling when he would say it, either, you know, audibly, or at least, you know, had a large smile on his face whenever he said that name. And I think that hurts the ability to...
Though, I mean, somewhat offset by the fact that, the you know, nobody can see you over the phone.
This is true. For now. Dun, dun, dun! So you say that Biff worked out okay.
I think it worked pretty well.
I mean, you got seated as opposed to being ejected.
Yeah. And promptly, I think, was the key there. Like, we thought there was going to be a wait, and it turned out we were seated almost immediately.
But it's not like they're like, oh, Biff, right this way.
No, I mean, I don't think they want to tip their hand, right? I mean, because then all the other people would be like, what the hell? How do these guys get seated well before us? And you'd have to be like, well, he's Biff.
Have you ever met anyone named Biff?
I don't think that's a real name, do you?
I don't know if the internet can help me with this.
Well,
it doesn't look like I mean, the internet wants to tell me a lot about, you know, as you might imagine, Back to the Future.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to pursue that.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Biff's not so much a name as it is a sound effect, right? Like 60s era Batman. It's like naming your kid Pow.
Which, you know, it's a pretty good name if you want to go with a name that's only one syllable.
I mean, it's action packed. Don't get me wrong.
So I'm trying to think of times when I have told people fake names for purposes of things. At one point, I remember this very early on. This is a story from my teenage years. I think you may or may not have been there. I was at a Papagino's. This was in high school. And there were some kids from the rival high school across town at that same Papagino's. Like a really kind of comical scene that I think really generally only exists in television, where, like, you know, there's actually like a small group of people wearing like the lettered jackets from the rival high school, you know, at the other booth. And they came over and were just kind of strike up an altercation with me to make fun of me or something. But I chose to give them the name of my friend Evan. So I told them that was my name. And then I gave them the full name and then answered all of their questions as if I was Evan. And then what unfortunately kind of ended that situation was that then a girl from our school walked by, and you know, Dan having gone to high school with me knows a lot about what my life was like then. So it was kind of interesting that, you know, the one time that a girl would say, you know, unprompted without me saying anything to them or something, but would say, "Hi, Tony," and you know, would be while I'm in fact answering questions and responding to people as Evan.
Karma's a bitch.
Yeah. So
that was her name, by the way, Karma.
That is a true story. Some of my friends that listened to our first two podcasts asked me questions about some other stories that I told, which they assumed to be lies or fabrications, fiction, if you will. And I was a little hurt that they did not, that, you know, I told you things from my actual past that I shared with our audience that were assumed to be not true. I think this hurts both because, you know, I am trying to open up to our listenership here, but also it shows a lack of appreciation for things that are actually lies that I tell. I mean, telling you stories is that are true is pretty easy. I just have to remember stuff. Like I can do that any day. But when I'm telling you like a lie, each of my lies is really, you know, it's handcrafted, like a fine porcelain doll.
I will say that you do have a certain craftsmanship in the fiction that you tell. I mean, that it's really, mm-hmm. You know, carefully balanced on that knife's edge of truth and mm-hmm. fiction, so that it could go either way. You know, mm-hmm. a lot like, you know, you're watching someone do one of those Olympic balance beam events, and, you know, they tip mm-hmm. over and everybody sort of holds their breath, and you don't really know what's going to happen. A person could fall and hurt themselves, mm-hmm. or they could make it to the other side. That's what your lies are like to me.
Another parable there. I think at some point, I, you know, when you had to read like stories as a young child or something where they try and impart parables to you about how you're supposed to live your life, there was something about, you know, at one point had to read a story where the lesson was basically when you tell lies, you have to keep track of all of them, and that is impossible to do. And I think instead of taking the takeaway you were supposed to get from that is that you shouldn't tell lies. And I think the takeaway that I took was that was kind of a challenge. who are you to tell me how to live, parable? Take that. I can keep track of plenty of things, both fabricated and reality.
I think the key was not so much keeping track of your lies as when somebody challenged you on a lie, that you just keep lying. I mean, I think that it's kind of like one of those dolls, the Russian dolls.
Yes. Yeah. The finest of porcelain dolls is a lie that contains
another
a smaller lie. Yeah. Another lie.
Well, more to the point that you're doing it in reverse. Really, is that you start with one lie and then you put another lie around it, and then you put another lie around that until you have like an onion of lies, and it makes people cry. Well, I mean, it's hard for me because honestly, lying is not something that comes naturally to me. I find it's really a challenge. I won't say necessarily that I was raised to always tell the truth, because it was never something that was really imparted on me. Like, it wasn't really stressed. But I feel like from the examples of much of the media that I consumed as a child, you know, which sort of showed a certain pattern of behavior to, like, you know, this is the way that good people act. That lying was usually not, like you said, it always ended up with some sort of comeuppance for the person who did the lying. And I think from me as a consequence point of view, I never wanted to get in a situation where my lying would lead to, say, you know, the death of my family.
That's a good lesson for all of our listeners out there. Don't do anything that will lead to the death of your family.
Or my family.
Or Dan's family, specifically.
I mean, you know, maybe I just took Pinocchio really to heart or something, but I find that I'm more inclined to tell the truth. I would like to be a better liar in some ways, because I can think of any number of situations where it might come in handy.
Well, I think there's two parts of lying, which I can share with you as a professional liar here.
Okay.
Part one is to, I mean,
I'm sorry, wait, are you a professional liar?
Certainly.
Okay. I mean, your word's good enough for me.
As it should be. So obviously the heart of all lying is a certain amount of creativity and just delivery. But I think there's two elements to lying. One is lies that you decide upon ahead of time. And these are, you know, basically just a story that you tell yourself that is, you know, sufficiently detailed. And it's very useful to have that in your head. And because it makes it a lot easier to believe it. Even better is if you convince yourself that that is in fact what reality is. So I recommend that whenever possible. There's a tactic some people use that when you look at somebody and are asking them a question, that the movements of the eyes will tell you whether they're basically referencing things they remember or creating things, depending on slight twitches in the eyes. So if you're using a lie that you already kind of know, if not actually believe, that's going to help you there. So part one is having a story built up that you're going to use ahead of time and can just either just use that or expand upon that in a way. The second part, which is the kind of the more, you know, the extreme sport of lying, is just an ability to make up things on the spot. And, you know, there, obviously, just being able to think quickly and a good amount of imagination and creativity will help there. But well, I recommend step one for your entry level.
Could we do a little like a tutorial? I mean, could you walk me through the process of creating a lie?
I think, Dan, that the important thing to take away from this is that the truth is the most powerful weapon of all.
So what you're saying is the truth is the best lie that I can tell.
Yes. Did I just blow your mind? Was that too deep for you?
No, that was just deep enough.
Just deep enough?
Just deep enough.
Dan deep, as I like to think of it.
I really would prefer you didn't say that. Well, I mean, I think on the following sort of on the heels of we've talked a little bit about our listenership. Mm-hmm. I think that we've, you know, I've been busy collecting some detailed statistics about our audience. Mm-hmm. And collecting some feedback from them on what they liked about the show, what they thought we could use more of. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, hold on. I've got some papers here that have a list of what we gathered from them. The first one is that they really liked sound effects. I think they were very impressed with the quality of the sound effects that we provided, and how they really enhanced the podcast experience for them. I mean, because you can only go so far with talking, right? They hear us talk all the time. It's nothing new. It's nothing different from them. But I think that, you know, enhancing that with some sort of additional sound that comes out of nowhere, that just sort of, you know, broadsides you, takes you by surprise. I think it really sort of encourages them to keep listening, which is, I think, a lesson that we best learned from Orson Welles, who was a master of this sort of thing. And so I think we should probably consider adding more sound effects. I don't know what that is. Is it a bag of potato chips? Some sort of, is it a baby rattle?
It's not really any of those, but I feel like if I told you what it actually is, that kind of ruins the mystery.
Okay. All right. Well, sound effects. We've got that down. Also on the list, there was at least one comment that they really they enjoyed the fact that we were spending so much of the podcast really just sharing knowledge that they may not have known. That they really felt the podcast was educational. And I mean, I think that's probably very gratifying for you as someone who's involved deeply with education.
Very deeply. In my heart and in my heart of hearts.
Yeah. I think that must be very gratifying for you to know that you've touched so many people that way and that they have taken something away from this podcast.
Must leave you feeling pretty empty though, huh?
I'm a little conflicted. I've got to be honest. Because I really don't feel like that's something I should be giving away for free. There's a lot of knowledge that I have that I could share with other people. And I mean, that's knowledge that's taken me a lot of time and a lot of effort to accumulate over the years. I mean, I don't want to say I'm hoarding it, you know, like a dragon sitting on a pile of jewels and gold and suits of armor. I don't want to say that, but I do think that, you know, I spend a lot of time painstakingly acquiring specific pieces of knowledge. I don't just go out willy-nilly and start just, you know, learning.
You're looking for the best knowledge.
The best knowledge, indeed. I'm selecting them, you know, the perfect nuggets to share with our listeners. And mm-hmm. I don't want them to think that kind of thing comes easy. And I think, you know, that there should be something in the order of recompense for that, the time and effort I've put into it.
Well, I've been assembling a list of our readership with the intent of borrowing money from them and not repaying them.
Do you think that's wise to sort of advertise?
Can we make sure to cut this part out?
Done.
Yep. Good. Other feedback I received, one of my friends who knows both of us said that, you know, I enjoy Tony and Dan, and that, you know, edited down podcast form of Tony and Dan, you know, how could that seems even better, right? So I guess the takeaway is not so much with regard to podcast content, but that things might be better if we stop talking to that friend as much, you know, in non-podcast context.
Yeah, I think that could be arranged.
I think he would appreciate that.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Noted.
What else do you have in your stack of reader feedback there?
I had a letter that said that they were very pleased with our mentioning of cryptozoological creatures.
Ah, yes.
Which people might recall from our episode 2, which dealt largely with cryptozoology.
Well, we discussed, I believe, rods and other...
Yes. So that seemed to be very positive. I don't know if we really want to spend a lot more time discussing cryptozoology. For one thing, it's a really long word.
We are paying by the letter to run this podcast, so...
Yeah, and we're not made of money, as we've established.
Time and time again. So I appreciate the feedback regarding cryptozoology. I don't know. I mean, I enjoy cryptozoology a great deal, but I don't know what we should talk about.
I mean, I'm not sure that we want to be a cryptozoological podcast particularly, right? I mean, that's not really our goal.
Those are already out there.
Yeah. So I don't think that's not necessarily the niche that we're looking to exploit. Really. You know, really, we're trying to corner the market on Tony and Dan podcasts, and I think so far, so good.
I feel like we didn't really do any market research, and at this point, I think it would break my heart too much to go and do a Google search for Tony and Dan podcasts, because just about everything that I've done a Google search for after I've started the project has made me want to cry. So,
Not unlike lying.
Other feedback from our readers. They enjoyed cryptozoology. They enjoyed what else?
They also, I think, enjoyed the fact that the podcasts are of a convenient length.
Yes.
That we don't talk a lot. I think that's good. I was thinking about throwing in, just for them, maybe could we do like a minute of silence? Can we afford that? Is that in our budget?
Nah.
Yeah, I think that was enough. That was plenty.
Yeah. I mean, who's gonna time us?